During this holiday season, book critic Maureen Corrigan looks back to the politics of the 60s. She says both in fiction and nonfiction, these books reflect on another time, yet contain lessons for today.
The ghost of Christmas past is haunting bookstores for the holidays. He's decked out not in the flowing robes that Charles Dickens imagined, but in hipper threads, bell-bottoms, a headband, maybe an army surplus jacket. That's because in literature this season, the 60s have been resurrected with a vengeance. A couple of months ago, I raved about Susan Choi's new novel, American Woman, which was inspired in part by the Patty Hearst kidnapping case. Neil Gordon's superb suspense novel, The Company You Keep, can be thought of as a fugitive companion volume to Choi's. His anti-hero, Jason Sinai, is a former member of the Weather Underground, the splinter group of SDS that advocated violence as a means to stop the Vietnam War. Sinai, like Choi's heroine, has constructed a good life under an alias in upstate New York. That is, until a reporter stumbles onto Sinai's true identity and outs him. Sinai then embarks on a cross-country odyssey to prove himself innocent of a decades-old murder charge in connection with a bank robbery gone haywire. One of the elements that makes The Company You Keep such an extraordinary suspense novel is its powerful evocation of fatherly love. Sinai has custody of his 7-year-old daughter, Isabel. In order to grab at the fragile straw of clearing his name and thus keeping Isabel, Sinai has to desert her in a New York City hotel room as she sleeps. The horror of that brutal yet necessary act echoes throughout the novel. Another element that distinguishes Gordon's writing is its wry intelligence. At one point in the novel, an FBI agent who fought in Vietnam makes this pronouncement about the war, and thus provides Gordon's book with its title. Where you fell on the question of Vietnam didn't depend on what you believed. Where you fell on the question of Vietnam depended on the company you kept. Nothing more, nothing less. Your friends went, your neighbors went, your family went, then you went too. If that's the case, then actual weatherman Kathy Boudin was fated for a life of revolution by the company she was born into. That's the reductive thesis of Susan Brody's nonfiction book on Boudin and her parents called Family Circle. Boudin, who lived underground for 11 years and made the FBI's most wanted list, was unexpectedly paroled from prison earlier this year. While the young Kathy Boudin was absorbed in her weatherman activities, her father, famous left-wing attorney Leonard Boudin, was busy defending Dr. Spock, Fidel Castro, and Daniel Ellsberg. Author Susan Brody insists that Kathy's revolutionary activities were motivated by her yearning for her father's approval, and that he in turn thrilled to his daughter's escapades and enjoyed his sexual access to her counterculture friends. Family Circle is New Left history writ as Freudian melodrama, but it does provide great fodder for holiday trivia games. Did you know that Kathy Boudin went to high school with Angela Davis? Or that the New York townhouse she grew up in appears on TV nightly in reruns of The Cosby Show? Now, to go from the entertaining, if often ridiculous, to the sublime. David Marinus's book, They Marched Into Sunlight, is that miraculous thing, a substantive, exhaustively researched work of history that reads like a novel you can't put down but frequently have to because it's so emotionally wrenching. Marinus, who's a Pulitzer Prize-winning author and an editor at The Washington Post, had an inspired idea to focus his book on two crucial events that happened on October 17th and 18th in 1967. Marinus's narrative alternates between the University of Wisconsin, where the student protest against campus recruitment by Dow Chemical, maker of napalm, unexpectedly erupted into a violent clash with police, and a jungle in Vietnam, where a celebrated battalion of the 1st Infantry Division marched into an ambush by North Vietnamese troops. They were outnumbered 8-1. Hovering above the infernos at home and in Vietnam is Lyndon Johnson, who sounds, in the conversations Marinus quotes, like a paralyzed character out of a Samuel Beckett play. Marinus sees both the students and the soldiers as marching into a sunlit ambush by forces both physical and historical, larger than themselves. Among the epic cast of characters Marinus interviews are the wife of slain battalion commander Terry Allen, who in 1967 was about to divorce her husband because of their opposing views on the war. He also talks to the surviving North Vietnamese commanders and Vice President Dick Cheney and his wife Lynn, who were then graduate students at Wisconsin and recalled feeling the demonstrations were a pain in the neck, interfering with their class schedules. The soldiers, of course, paid a much higher price than the students, but the triumph of Marinus's book is that he illuminates the transformative effects of the two battles, both on the individuals involved and, particularly in the case of the Wisconsin protest, on the nation. The Ghost of Christmas Past takes Scrooge on a tour of what's gone before in order that he repent and not repeat his mistakes. Perhaps these 60s books also give us readers some cautionary insights to apply to the present, insights about the price of fanaticism as well as the price of ignorance.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University.